Every day, it seems there are headlines about the growing dominance of China's economy. By some calculations, China is expected to lead the world in manufacturing by 2012, and it could surpass the U.S. as the world's largest economy a decade after that. Journalist Ted Fishman describes the Chinese phenomenon in his new book, China Inc., How the Rise of the Next Superpower Challenges America and the World. Fishman says the growth of the Chinese economy is unprecedented.
It has doubled again, and doubled again, and neither the United States or Japan's economy has done it nearly as quickly as China's has. You know, it's tilting the world. It's tilting the world towards China. Our manufacturing sector is feeling it quite intensely, and China's built up a manufacturing Goliath, which is not only changing the shape of American manufacturing, which has to figure out a way to make things different than the Chinese are making them, but it's also seizing markets that would otherwise have gone to us. And these are giant markets worth hundreds of billions of dollars.
Now, you describe how this has taken some by surprise, even officials in the Bush administration, and you describe a visit in 2003 by the Secretaries of Labor and Commerce to a Harley-Davidson plant in Milwaukee. What happened there?
That's right. Well, there was a bus tour by the top economic officials of the Bush administration. There was the Secretary of Commerce, the Secretary of Labor, and the Secretary of the Treasury were going around to celebrate the great advantages of the Bush tax cut and its pro-business stand, and they went to the Harley-Davidson plant. Well, when they got there, they were dumbstruck. Instead of talking about the miracles of the Bush administration's pro-business stance, everybody in the room, from the managers to the manufacturers in the area to the labor workers, were all united on one topic. What is the administration doing about China? Well, these three officials came utterly unprepared to talk about China. When some of the labor union representatives said, well, what are you doing about American jobs? Elaine Chao said, well, when our soldiers get back from Iraq, they'll have their jobs. The question didn't even register.
One economic story that has gotten a lot of play in recent months is Walmart. It's become controversial in some communities. And you say the Walmart's success would simply not have been possible without China.
And China's success might not have been quite as possible without Walmart. It goes both ways. Walmart serves as a conduit for the Chinese economy directly into the kitchens and bedrooms of Americans. By some count, 70% of the things sold in Walmart stores have a Chinese component to them. And Walmart can move goods from China out of a vast network of buyers who scour the country looking for the best contractors to make goods for them, but also they take advantage of China because there are American suppliers, brand name suppliers in tools, in consumer products of all kinds have gone to China in order to satisfy Walmart's demand for lower and lower prices.
And so where do you, after your research, come down on what this means for the U.S. economy?
Yeah, well, the plus is, you know, on the consumer side, it's phenomenal. What the Bush administration officials who went around the country didn't realize is that China is doing a lot more for American consumers than their tax cut. Gary Huffbauer, who's an economist at the Institute for International Economics in Washington, did a great calculation for me, which was, what is the savings that comes from the China effect on prices of manufactured goods? Not just from China, but from the countries that have to compete with China. And what he found was that there's a savings delivered to every American, on average, of $550. If you spend more, of course, you make more. You know, and the Bush administration tax cut only delivered $1,100 to a family of four.
What about those who would complain about outsourcing the loss of American jobs to China?
Well, that's the other side. You know, as a consumer, we benefit, but as a worker, we are deeply challenged.
I mean, it really does read like the reversal of the Industrial Revolution. You know, you cite company after company that finds it can save money by replacing machinery with cheap labor.
What has happened with China's industrialization is a deindustrialization of a lot of the rest of the world. Southeast Asia, for example, is doing very well supplying China, but it's not supplying China with manufactured goods. It's supplying it with raw material, which puts them back where their economies were 20 or 30 years ago. In the United States, what it does is it accelerates the shift away from physical manufacturing of stuff to an acceleration into a knowledge economy. But there's a catch-22 there also. And that is that a knowledge economy is an economy that's easily stolen across a computer network or a telephone line because it exists in bits and bytes.
And you're right, the Chinese are incredibly good at this.
Oh, they are very, very good at it. You know, they're very good at making things and also stealing intellectual property. It's almost a national industrial policy for them. You know, sometimes I put myself in the shoes of a leader of a country of 1.3 to 1.5 billion poor people. And if I can make all of those people quite a bit richer by allowing them to steal Microsoft software to no harm to me, do I let them do it? Or do I say, look, there are international norms that may cost people's lives, that may keep people economically depressed?
Your subtitle here is how China's rise is challenging America and the rest of the world, but you also talk about the impact it's having on the Chinese. You've got a very poignant scene with a family in what sounds like a shack, really, where they live above their antique store, and they are struggling to figure out eBay because they've discovered that it's a great source of sales.
Yes, this is a family that the father is a retired military guard to the Chinese leadership, and they have decided to start an antique shop in Shanghai. And they live in what can only be described as a hovel, but then you climb up these rickety stairs where the pipes are leaking, and you know, there's wallpaper that's made out of old calendars and one bed. And there are, at the top of the stairs are two handmade computers made by a friend of the family's, and they've spent their best money on this computer in order to connect to eBay, because they figured out that if they can get online, with even with a dial-up connection, and use their English language dictionary and pirated software, that they can have access to a giant American market. And this is, for them, how globalization has arrived into their antique shop.
Ted Fishman, his new book is China, Inc., How the Rise of the Next Superpower Challenges America and the World. Thank you.
Thank you.